This is JFM Podcast.
Hello there, very good evening to you, and welcome to the program Nigeria Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. My name is Ponsak Fanab. It's a beautiful Wednesday evening, 6th of March, 2024. Gilbert, good evening. How's the day? How's the going?
Good evening, Ponsak. I had a typical working day, so it's been largely fruitful, it's been largely productive, so it's the way to go, so let's keep it.
Well, we'd like to wish our dear boss, the managing director of our station, that is Comrade Garuba, Clinton Garuba, today is his birthday. We pray that God will bless you immensely. I've learned so much from him. And one, dedication to what anything he sets his mind on doing, he do it wholeheartedly. He doesn't give 99.9%. He gives, if it's not 100,
it's nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing. And that's number one. Number two, he's, I dare say that he's very compassionate, you know, to subordinates, I would say. At times, you don't even feel as if he's your boss.
True.
You know,
true.
It feels like it's your working colleague because it's very simple, very easygoing, approachable, and what have you. So happy birthday to you, Comrade Clinton Garuba. And of course, our senior colleague, Dan Kwada, Damasani Dan Kwada, is wishing you a happy birthday as well. May God bless you immensely.
Amen. You couldn't have said that any better. The level playing, I think, basically, for me as a person, what I like is he ensures you have the enablement to do what you're expected to do. Whatever will serve as an encumbrance to you, if it's within his powers, he's able to do that to ensure that everybody, the highest and the lowest, you're able to discharge to the best of your abilities. And for me, that's quite exemplary. You don't get to find that often. I said earlier, you know, with people like that, the world will be a better place. And so we wish him a long, long, long series of joy, favor, God's unending blessings, and all that life can offer.
Well, Gilbert, what stories have you been following today?
The call to bar ceremony of the young lawyers, because they're already lawyers, so it took place today. And
I think it was a two-day event from yesterday.
Yes, it culminated, you know, in the final round of activities today. And Justice Mary Odili said something that I don't know where it's coming from, but she told them it's unethical to grant interviews after court judgment. You know, and this has been common practice. It's been the thing. And I don't know what part of their ethics. It says you don't speak after court judgments and all that. They are not justices, for crying out loud. Or they are not judges in that case, for crying out loud. So I don't know what exactly she's driving at. But in the interest of accountability and, of course, democratic tenets, it's important that people are not gagged, people are not meant to feel they've been suppressed. If you lose a case, you should explain your position, because in the end, there's nothing anybody can do about it, especially when you lose a case in the highest court of the land. But for her to have come out to say this, I think begs for more questions from me than it answers the very questions it raised.
Yeah. Well, the Edo State House of Assembly has served impeachment notice on Philip Shuaibu, the deputy governor, who is also contesting, you know, platform of the PDP to succeed Governor Obaseki. And, you know, all of the travails that Philip Shuaibu has gone through, you know, is in the history of this country. I think the governors that had their deputies succeed them, I think they're not more than three, I'll say, or less to be conservative, four. I think, what's this guy name? This is Zamfara Ojigawa.
I don't remember any.
Ganduje and Konkoso.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, and Shuaibu now wanting to. But, you know, I like his daring spirit, but the approach at which he's going, you know, about it, I think that it's just chaotic because the governor will feel as if, you know, Philip Schreiber is rubbing shoulders, you know, with him. And, you know, the politics in Edo State is just like Plateau State, mm-hmm. where, you know, there's the issue of zoning and what have you. And a lot of people have said that the candidate of the Labour Party that is going to be tough, you know, for him to cross. Even the APC, you see how the APC in Edo State is, you know, coming down, so to say. Because the PDP seems to be, you know, on top of the game in Edo State. Well, let's keep watching to see how that will pan out. And Wike is saying that he's going to end open grazing in Abuja.
You know, when he came to office, the very first week, some of the drama that ensued, people said, look, he wanted to demolish the National Mosque. He wanted to do stuff that tampered with some people's freedom of religion and all that. Mm. I don't know if you have his way on the issue of open grazing, because you'd find that eventually, if he commences any procedures or modalities to end that, the whole noise would be that he's targeting a certain
Magba think that you know they have been targeted. You know,
so. Let's see how he's able
to. But which
go
is more easy?
That.
Which is more easy, Gilbert, to have your cattle in one place, ranch them to make more profit than roaming, you know, with them? You get to suffer, the cattle get to suffer, everybody suffers, and there's no maximization of profit.
And
you know, the Magba will say that, well, it's their culture.
That's exactly where I wanted to go.
Well,
to.
For me, and culture is not stagnant. It's human beings, you know, that change culture. Every culture has evolved.
You have to accept that, you know, no culture is stagnant. You have to accept that. So once you don't accept that, it means that, look, there is something about the culture that you think shouldn't be tampered with. And
no,
rightly so. I understand your point.
Yeah.
I understand your point, Ponsak. But it's not just about this country alone. It's about other cultures of the world. And it's why you would find the Republicans doing what they're doing. Every now and then, they believe there is a tradition that shouldn't be tampered with. Yeah. So it will take time. It will take a lot of education. It will take a lot of dialogue, communication, and sensitization, or whatever it is, for people to be able to go past these levels. But I just wish he can find a way around it to just make the FCT a better place. And because if you look at the reasons why he wants to implement this, you'd agree with him. I mean, it's the first place that, you know, expatriates come to, especially when they have got challenges, hiccups, whatever it is bureaucratically that they want to solve. So if he's able to find his way around it, I would be really happy. But I'm just wondering what he's going to face in the long run.
Yeah, well, let's play this insert from Musli Obanikoro saying that the federal government needs to be very transparent with the issue of subsidy. You know, different newspapers have carried that the government is back in paying full subsidy. That's why the price, you know, has been steadily maintained. But, well, the federal government hasn't come out to clearly deny or accept, you know. When we come back, we have the special advisor on strategic communication to Governor Caleb Mutfwang, and we're going to have conversation with him. Stay here.
Have reduced importation of fuel to about 50%. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
I cannot say, because I'm not in that industry.
Yeah, but you said,
but what I can tell you, yes, is because there are some local refineries now, Dangote Refinery and a host of other smaller refineries that are working. I think what we need to do, I've said it before and I will repeat myself, the government needs to communicate more, engage Nigerians more. You talk about subsidy. Mr. Falano knows. We all know because we see it on the pages of newspapers, on TV, on radio, every day. The rate of crude, the price of crude in dollars, every day. And if our money, the Naira, has lost so much value and crude is dollarized, evidently there must be a cushion somewhere. Then to what extent is that cushioning being done? I can't speak to that. It's somebody who is representing the government that can address that. But my common sense tells me that there is a gap, that because of the pain in the country, the government cannot allow that lacuna to be left unfilled. Hence, government may chip in some amount of money to fill in that gap.
Don't you think that there needs to be transparency in that regard?
I do believe that that needs to be communicated, no doubt about that. That is why it is very important to take the people along step by step, particularly in such area. But in the area of security, it's difficult to come on television or engage people in strategies that the government is deploying of the economy. I do agree with you that the government should be as transparent as they can possibly.
Yeah, well, glad you're still here. The program is Nigeria at Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. My name is Ponsak Fanab.
My name is Gilbert Joseph.
We have, like I said, the special advisor to Governor Caleb Mutfwang on strategic communication. He's a one-time member that represented Pangshin Kanki Kanam Federal Constituency in Abuja. And, well, first of all, he's a senior reporter. He's our colleague, Gilbert. Mm-hmm.
Columnist.
Yes, fantastic one at that. And then he's no other than Dr. Timothy Golu. Thank you so much for coming. Good evening and good to have you, sir.
Good evening, my brothers. It's a pleasure being with you here. Yeah.
Well, congratulations on your appointment. I'm so happy that we have someone like you to come to serve. It shows that you're very passionate about Plateau and you've made, an undying commitment, you know, to Plateau to give her your all, your time, your treasure, and your talent. So thank you for that, sir.
Thank you for the compliment.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where to start from, but lot of, you know, issues that we need to talk about today. But let's start with the one that is more current, I would say, a little bit current. That is the rumor that circulated that some APC members attempted to find their way into the House of Assembly complex. And then some PDP youths or Plateau youths kept vigil at the premises of the State House of Assembly complex. Talk to us about that. As someone that you're a very seasoned lawmaker, talk to us about when you heard of that rumor. What was your initial reaction?
Well, thank you very much for this opportunity. I greet the people of Plateau. I commend you here for the wonderful job you people are doing.
Thank you, sir.
Let me first of all congratulate our big brother. Well, let me say, even though I am older than him, but he is a big brother in this, you know, Clinton Garba, for clocking, I don't know how old
50.
He is today. 50.
50, yeah.
Wow, he has joined us on the fifth floor.
Yeah.
So congratulations to him and appreciation to all of you here.
Yeah,
I want to say that fortunately, the situation is over. But it is good to give a background on what happened so that we create the awareness so that people know what happened, and then those who are planning it don't do it again, because it is actually not, it is out of the context of democracy completely. And unfortunately that it was being spearheaded by people who should know, people who are operators, you know, within the political system, who are key players, and yet they wanted to go about doing what, you know, is illegal. Yes, it is true, some people wanted to, through the back door, penetrate the House of Assembly out of desperation to get themselves sworn in, you know, by themselves, because there is a leadership in the House.
Is that a legal thing to do?
It is illegal.
Okay.
It is out of the law. In fact, it wouldn't have taken place, because there is no, even morality, you know, would never accept such a thing, even traditional morality, because the leadership, people who are giving judgment by the Court of Appeal are supposed to present themselves before the Speaker, whether the House is in session or out of session. But to the best of my knowledge, and as I speak to you today, none of them has submitted himself or his own paper document, a certificate of return obtained from INEC, to the Speaker.
Oh, really?
Yes, okay. None of them. They were just after being sworn in, and there is a procedure. And even before then, the Speaker would have gladly sworn them in on the 23rd of January upon resumption. Remember that the House adjourned around November, you know, for like 2 months, and then they were to reconvene in January. And then there were two injunctions that were served on the Speaker restraining him from swearing in any of the members. One from the Labour Party aspirants, you know, who had obtained judgment from the court you know, seeking to, you know, to annul the elections in 13 constituencies, state constituencies. Mm-hmm. You know, ANEC was properly served, and because ANEC refused to enforce it, you know, they went back to court, and then the people whose judgment is against them, that is the APC, did not appeal. And so definitely they, you know, there is always, is what they call statute bar. Mm. It has to do with time. And so they had lost the case by virtue of the fact that they did not appeal. And so ANEC was being waited for to declare these constituencies, you know, to declare elections in these constituencies. So you see, the injunction from the Labour Party was aptly served, because those people have their rights, you know, that are expected to be respected and protected. And then the other injunction was from the civil society organizations, because they are also participants in the politic, in the polity, and so they serve the speaker. So the combined forces of these two injunctions is so critical that nobody would have. They were not vacated, and they knew the value of those injunctions. Mm. And if they are law abiding, having gone to court to obtain judgment, then it behoves that you must respect the process of the law, the due process, you know, to its own conclusion. And so, because they knew, I don't know what they know, but we know that they knew something, you know, having refused to follow the due process of the law to get, you know, to that level, they decided to sneak themselves, to get themselves thrown in by only God, only who God knows, let me say. And the eagle eye of the Plateau people, the eagle eye of the security caught up with them. And then as we stand today, the situation is over. They have gone back to their shelves. It is out of desperation. We have advised them to follow the law. We have advised them, let's follow. We are a law-abiding government. You know, we nobody will trample over their rights, but let them follow it to the right. If all right. It is their own, if the judgment truly belongs to them, they will get it.
All right. Let's talk about, insecurity and the killings Plateau, unfortunately, has painted Plateau in a bad light. But over the last 2 months, I think we've not had any killings, we've not had any massive attack on villages. What would you like Plateau people to know that Governor Mutfwang is doing that it needs to come to the limelight so that people would know, okay, this is what the governor is doing, and perhaps support him?
In fact, it is a very good development, and then to the glory of God, just like you said, serious improvement in the security situation. For the past more than 1 month, about 2 weeks ago, former members of the National Assembly, almost close to 500, were in jaws here, you know, on their way to Bogoro to commiserate, you know, to participate in the funeral arrangements of the mother of our former speaker,
yeah,
Right Honorable Yakubu Dogara. Yeah. And it will shock you that those who have not been to jaws in the last few years, those who have not been to jaws in, you know, last year, those who were afraid to come to jaws even early this year, all of them were here. There was no accommodation. I was in charge of accommodation. There was no accommodation for our members who were trooping into JOS, because everybody knew of the improvement in the security situation. You know, the security situation here is always, you know, spoken of out of proportion. When the governor came in, let me say shortly before he came in, there was the insecurity escalated to a point,
yeah.
You know, to the point that even after taking over, you know, the things snowballed into, you know, some months, you know, in office. But let me tell you, the serious efforts of the governor, the security measures, security steps taken are not, you know, they are not like other policies that can be enumerated openly. But I am so happy with all that he put on ground. You know, the governor quickly went to Abuja. For the first time, you saw, you know, the response, the joint response, the collective response of the federal security apparatus, the visibility of the security, you know, personnel here in Jos. For the first time, you saw the presidential response. It has never been this swift. It has never been this, you know, swift, as I said.
Yeah, will you attribute that to the negotiation power or skill?
Exactly.
Because we had a governor before that was chairman of Northern Governors Forum and killings every week, and it seems...
It is, first of all, it has to do with the sincerity of purpose of a leader. Once you are committed, once you are sincere, and God knows that you are sincere, the sincerity magnates every action that is supposed to join in resolving the issue. You know, the commitment of the president, you know, with the integrity that is involved in the process, get the presidential, you know, assent, get the presidential note, they get the presidential support. The governor here is a PDP man. The president is an APC man. Mm. But to tell you that the kind of consent, to tell you that the inspirational, you know, coincidence, or let me say, the two of them talked, and the two of them are genuinely committed to resolving this issue. Mm. Unlike what we have in the past, when people see that stories, something will be happening somewhere, but the presidential action will be selective. You know, people will prefer to go to other places because of, you know, some other key interests. But this time around, the president has an overall interest. He has an interest, you know, that covers the entire country. The president has, since he assumed office, he has not demonstrated any selective interest, you know, on any issue concerning any state. His wife, who is also APC, came to Plateau State.
Yeah.
And compassionately assisted our own people here. He came and donated about 500 million naira. Other people would not have done this for purely partisan, you know, avoidable partisan reasons. But this woman came in and did wonders for us here, help our people. So it is in the blood of the leadership of the nation. And fortunately for us, it's a coincidence because it is also in the blood of the leadership of the state. There is nothing the present governor, Barrister Mutwang, has done to show any partisan or selective application of intervention.
Well, let's talk about infrastructure that he's doing, especially transport infrastructure. Train service is set to commence in Jos, Bukuru Metropolis anytime soon, and you have the Tin City Metro. Talk to us how that will, number one, increase the IGR, cushion the suffering, you know, especially on commuters, and the thinking of government, you know, behind this huge investment in transportation.
That tells you how prepared the governor was before, you know, getting into office. It's not just the slogan of, you know, wanting to be here, wanting to be governor and the rest of them. He became governor as soon as he was, you know, sworn in as governor, sworn into action. You know, the first 100 days, people thought that it was a joke. They wanted to observe the traditional, the ceremonial, you know, that has never produced any effect. They were saying, 100 days, we have not seen anything, we have not heard anything. But you cannot be planning a serious thing and be rushing to do something in 100 days. Look at what happened. There are people that, you know, within 100 days, they sought to do some few things, and that was the end of it for 8 years. The only achievements were those recorded within those 100 days. But you see what he has done in the area of infrastructure. You can only compare it with some, you know, some administrations, you know, that lasted beyond eight years. Look at the road, you know, construction. Look at the man that is running, you know, the administration of the provision of this infrastructure. You know, the way the man was sorting, a retired director from the Ministry of Works, he came in prepared. It's like before the governor was sworn in, he briefed the man, he invited him, this is what I want you to do. And immediately he was sworn in, this man commenced without noise, without any noise. In fact, we are, as I speak to you now, a number of roads. I saw it somewhere that the previous government, you know, constructed 40 roads on the plateau.
In
I am
years.
Counting. I have not seen up to 5 roads.
In 8 years, 40, okay.
I say 40. I'm counting. I want them to submit the names of the roads and let us visit them and look at the locations. But as it is today, I can't count the number of roads that have been, you know, urban roads that have been constructed. But they know it. Very soon, we're going to give the statistics of everything that has been done. And they are continuous. And the government is going to provide, I don't want to say it here officially, but I know that because it's an official process, if it requires supplementary budget to be able to augment that sector, the governor will not hesitate to do it. But as it is, what is being done, at least within the budget year, is good enough to go.
Okay.
I will take you on something, you know, that our colleague, perhaps of your pedigree in the practice of this job, wrote about Plateau State. That's Sam Omate. He said the governor, when he came in, dissolved the interreligious council, and that's basically on security again. That is, according to him, it's an arrangement that hitherto had given people all shades of reasons to come together and ventilate their opinions, and it's one of the two requests, according to him, that the governor should be able to look at, and he went too hard on that. Is it really logical what he has said about the interreligious council that was dissolved? Was it indeed dissolved? And do you think this in any way has made anybody to feel less of a stakeholder in the Plateau project? And secondly, he compared the House of Assembly problem with that of River State and even said the situation in River State is not to in any way be compared with what's happening in Plateau State, despite everything that the nation saw take place in River State. What's your take on this?
Well, I haven't gone through the details of the thoughts of Sam Omatse, but what I would say on the Interreligious Council is this. Every leadership has its own priorities. You know, if the governor, if I cannot say, you know, exactly what happened, because I need to also confirm before confirming it to you. Every leader has its own priority. Every leadership is politically inclined. And if there is a leadership, you know, within all those crisis periods and the rest of them, and you have a new leader, it behoves on a new leader to pause and take stock of all that has happened. And probably, you know, is to take stock, and if it is true that the council was dissolved, is to see whether it was dissolved, you know, for a good cause, or whether those people that were dissolved, you know, needs to be returned to office. You know, so it is not out of place for any person to take a decision on such things, because this is going to last for 4 years, it's going to last for 8 years, and so you cannot come and inherit such a thing, and especially with the controversial nature of the situations at that time, and begin to assume that everything is well because you want to avoid, you know, further controversy. No, it is for you to take stock so that you can re-examine and assess it. And I believe that that is the situation. But I'm going to get, you know, into the details of it so that we can you know, we can clearer. Yeah. And then the second issue is comparing the issues in the House of Assembly here on the Plateau and the one in Rivers. They are just not the same at all. As he said, our own here is as straightforward as anything. Straightforward. You know, the controversies that trail the judgment of the Court of Appeal. It was controversial because even the Supreme Court in its final decision said so many things which I will not say here. And even those, even the APC people who are to be sworn in knows very well the difference between a judicial pronouncement and an electoral decision, an electoral outcome. You know, there is morality in politics, but let's forget about that. We are talking about the legality of it. The issues are very clear. You want to get to the facts of the matter, follow the law, because you went to court, and at a point you want to back out of the law. You cannot change the rules in the middle of the game. In the case of River State, it is completely different. Those people were defected, and their own case went to court, and the court declared their seats vacant. The court of law declared their seats vacant. So we are yet to, you know, have the explanation of, you know, what happened. If a court of law has declared a seat vacant, and then you want to go and resolve the issue politically, I don't know how you're going to do that. We are waiting to see the magic. We are going to see the kind of political solution. Let us not set a precedent that tomorrow will be difficult for us, you know, to manage other issues that will come up from other states, because it continues. The political life is dynamic. Politics generally is a dynamic situation. It's a dynamic game. So you think you will apply, you know, apply. This is not even law to be applied. You applied, you know, a solution out of the blues, and then tomorrow you have the same situation somewhere, and you cannot apply that. So in the case of Plateau State, it is as straightforward as anything. They themselves cannot controvert that. Let them come and tell the people of Plateau State who is doing injustice to them. Nobody. If not out of desperation, if out of sincerity, you want to pursue an issue, you will not sneak to the House of Assembly in the night to go and seek to get yourself sworn in. And besides, by resolution of the House, proceedings have been moved to the government house because the premises, the traditional premises of the House of Assembly has been under renovation. So what are you going to do there? Whatever action, even as it is today, the Speaker with the 8 members cannot even sit in that place. Even if the renovation work is completed, it has to be by resolution again, you know, to revert back to the former premises because everything is done according to procedures, according to processes.
A resolution of the lawmakers?
Yes, resolution of the lawmakers before the judgments of the appeal court that sacked the 16 PDP lawmakers, that sacked other members of the National Assembly. The House of Assembly sat under the previous speaker, Moses Sule, you know, together with all the APC people there, and move the House sittings and proceedings to the government house. This is not the first time it's happening. It's happened under distinguished Senator John Ajang. It happened under the immediate past Governor Simon Lalong, you know, when the House structure was under renovation. So this is not the first time. So they couldn't have succeeded in doing anything. But what import, what message did they actually want to send? What actually? But I want to appreciate the eagle eye of the Plateau people, the youths across political parties. When I got there yesterday, I saw APC youths, I saw PDP youths, I saw Labour Party youths, all of them waiting to challenge the kind of illegality that would have been perpetuated there. So we were waiting. Even those who were sponsoring them, nobody could come out to say anything.
Oh, you but think they're sponsored?
Of course. Yeah, they're sponsored. They were sponsored because from the grapevine, you know, we know those who are doing it. Not those who are doing it, but thank God that it is over, and they know that it is over. Let them pursue their litigation, you know, to whatever level, and then when we get there, we will know what, you know, we will continue from there. We're waiting for the courts.
Final thing from me here. At the swearing-in ceremony of you and your colleagues, the governor threw a challenge to all of you. That's on Monday, right? And he said, the government is looking for money. You should be able to help the government raise money to develop the state and to prosper the people. How enormous is the task before you and all those who were sworn in on the day?
You know, the charge is a very swift one. It is a challenge on one hand, it's an encouragement on the other hand, because the governor is making the statement vis-a-vis the traditional notion about, you know, those who get into government. And thank God, the caliber of people that have joined, you know, other colleagues that have been on ground, are those people who have served, you know, in different capacities. So definitely the governor would expect, you know, that you bring your own experience to bear. It may not be physical, you know, money the governor is talking about. It may be, you know, it has to do with a lot of things. There are people that can attract, you know, many things in kind, you know, to the state. And looking at those people, in fact, it has started. A lot of people, through their personal engagements, through their, you know, individual connections, wherever they can move, wherever they can go, bring in ideas to the governor. And then the governor is an individual. He has two eyes like everybody, so he doesn't have eyes behind him. So these appointees are those who serve as his eyes behind. Where he cannot see, these people can see for him. So I believe that it is a charge for all of us to think outside the box. Think outside the box. You know, whenever I look at my designation, strategic communications, you know, it is a challenge, you know, a challenge that he has put it before me and those that will be working together. Because when you talk about something strategic, it is something that should be, it should be above the average, should be above the usual, should be above the normal. You know, we used to do things this way, but this time around, get involved, give attention to details of the whole thing. We want result. If you have been doing things in certain ways and you don't get result or you get average result, this time around, I want that same process to be improved, to be expanded in scope so that you can get better results for me. The way we want to do it is such that we are moving in the same way, you know, that you people are doing. There are so many creative, you know, that there's a lot of creativity that you people have brought, you know, as value added in the course of this journalism here. You know, journalism is not being practiced the way it used to be practiced. The analysis you people are doing here, this is what somebody is waiting for.
Huge compliment. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for the compliment, sir. Yeah, well, we've been having a chat with Dr. Timothy Golu, the special advisor to Governor Mudfong on strategic communications. I know that you would like to ask him questions or make comment. Please, you can call 081-2187-7777 or you call 090-55-66-6699. Turn down the volume of your radio before you call.
Send us your comment on Facebook at JFM Live. On X, we are JFM Joss, and we'll be taking them.
Yeah, let's take the first call. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Hello, good evening.
Yes, tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
Yeah, thank you very much. My name is Edith Umar. I'm calling from Kiki and Kijongshu.
We're listening, sir.
Yes, I will comment your guests have spoken very, very well, and they have enlightened us much more about the happening in the governance of Barrister Caleb Mudfong. And congratulations for his appointment. And by his word, we know that he can deliver. This is the kind of team that Caleb Mudfong wants. You see, he raised a lot of issues pertaining what is happening, especially the issue of this House of Assembly issue. You see, it is very, very clear that a plan has been by the APC since the starting of this election. You will see that they have a lot of strategy to make sure that they both they bring the illegality of their candidate to the office. You see, during the election, they have bring a lot of propaganda, which the propaganda have not been achieved. But you see, this issue of House of Assembly is another plan, which we have known since the issue of election, which they have the highest majority, they will use an opportunity to impeach the governor, which it will never happen by God's grace, because the governor is already with the people, and the people are the ones that come out to vote the governor. And those House of Assembly members that were given by the court, they should look at their democratic or political career, because they will look for another position. And everybody knows if a political position was not given democratically, if it's given by the court, there is a tendency that person is not going to deliver. That is why plateau people will not agree to see this happen. So lastly, my comment to the governor. The governor, we have seen everything that he has been doing, all the development that have been, and we are calling on him. He should not deter with the challenges that is happening, with the political challenges. We should all work as a team to make plateau work. Plateau have not worked for 8 years past. Now plateau is working. So I think the people of plateauness, those that have the heart of plateau, should support the governor and make the achievement. Thank you very much. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you, Sadiq. Thank you.
I appreciate your comments. Yeah. Plateau is working, and everybody can see it.
Yeah. Thank you, thank you. Well, 081-2187-7777, or you call 090-55-66-6699. Hello, good evening, thank you for calling. Okay, this is not working. Hello, good evening, thank you for calling.
Hello, Mr. Panka, good evening, and your guest. I'm calling from Tidwada, my name is Manuel.
Yeah, go ahead, sir, we're listening.
Yes, first of all, let me appreciate the presence of your guest, but also say that we should be able to differentiate between road construction and road rehabilitation. What we see in town is road rehabilitation. There is no any new construction of any road. So when you rehabilitate a road, you should lead the language. The language should be spoken the way it is, rather than making it look like they are new roads. So far, so good, we do not see any road constructed that is new. Second is that. It is also...
I have one question for you. How about the... Tudumwada Rukuba Road, you know, that Savongari that will, you know, boss out in Rukuba Road.
That particular road,
the drainages has been drained. There was filling. And of course, until that one is over, because you have not started plying the road, until that one is over, you can count it as construction, but no rehabilitation. The ones we have seen in town is still
thank you, my brother. We appreciate the technical.
No, let me land, sir, so that we, the opposition, too, should have something to say. Because anytime we say something, we want to end our thoughts.
Go ahead, sir.
Secondly, it's highly hypocritical to think that the same PDP is coming out to congratulate and say that the president is doing very well. When it was the same PDP that went against the president and he said that profaning as Muslim ticket. We know what Along passed through last time. They call him name. Why would he accept DC for Muslim ticket? He's not a Christian, he's a sellout. Today, the same PDP who are the beneficiary now are clapping hands. That's the height of hypocrisy. Sometimes I ask whether when you start clapping hands for Tinubu and Shetima, I would just ask whether they have changed religion or something. God bless for 50.
Thank you. Let me respond to you. You see, this is democracy. Regardless of your position, yes, there was Muslim ticket, which the PDP fought and other political parties. But you see, after every election, whatever are your positions, regardless of how you fell before the election, everything has come to one way. A winner is always a winner. Whether you voted for somebody or not, provided he won the election, you have no right to refer to the past as anything. So your own analysis, bringing the past into the present future, I don't think will add value to any outcome at all. President Tinubu is doing well as president. Before now, everybody has his own choice. So many people did not vote for him. But now that he has become president, whatever he is doing will be assessed based on what he is doing. He is doing well, and we say he is doing well. You want us to be hypocritical? We cannot be hypocritical. You know, remember, it's the same PDP that has operated a government of national unity. No party has ever done that in this country. In the last 8 years under Buhari, nobody from the PDP has ever been appointed. But here on the plateau, my big brother, Alhaji Ibrahim Nakande, was appointed as an APC person to be a Minister of State for Information, and so many other people. That tells you that under PDP, we don't do hypocrisy. We promote togetherness. And thank God that President Asiojo Bola Tinubu has copied, the kind of administrative sincerity, or let me say, has added to it. And he is doing what we want. He's doing what is good for the country. So we should not, just because of political reasons, begin to go after him. Right. We will not do that.
Yeah, let's take more phone calls. Hello. Got you late. Sorry about that. Maybe, Gilbert, you take us through Facebook.
All right. On Facebook, Muhammad Baza says, please tell your guest that there is leakage of water pipe in front of JED's head office at Rampant Street. Let them do something about it before it destroys the newly constructed road and the interlocks. Dimas Bala says, frankly speaking, let the speaker swear in the 16 lawmakers who won their cases at the appeal court. Even though it's not the choice of the majority, but court has decided already. It was an unfortunate judgment, but let there be a stability in the state house. Albert Dagza says, I see no reason why the ousted PDP legislators together with the speaker should hold the Plateau State legislative arm to ransom. The Court of Appeal on their matter has given a ruling. Please, I beg the legislators, together with the Speaker, to humbly obey the judgment and allow those who are supposed to be sworn in to be sworn in without further delay. The time for politicking should end. Let's enjoy the dividends of democracy. Moses Adinoye says, the truth is, those APC lawmakers were not voted, so you can't expect them to represent us. Thank you. And Felkuka Factor says, good evening to Honorable Timothy Golu. Happy to hear from him. He's always great. I'm waiting to hear from the House members. Izang, as he says, I don't know what the problem of these APC members. Did you guys win the election? No. Why are you trying to rule by force? Please, it's time for governance, APC members. This is not 2021 drama in the State Assembly. May BCM succeed. Plateau first. Bold Dave Jonathan says, it seems like the Plateau State House of Assembly issue has become political even after the elections. In my view, playing to the gallery by the former governor during funeral service has triggered the near invasion of the chamber. This could be because a political party is trying to gain influence and control in the assembly. Politics can often be a complex and competitive game with various interests at play. The aftermath of elections can sometimes lead to power tussle. Richard Egbita says, democracy is a process and it's a collective effort that we make it better, and my appreciation goes to the youth for standing on the ground. Democratic principles must be maintained. The APC 16 members should wait for the outcome of the court process. Or are they saying they don't believe in the court again? Zaure Timnan says, in a true sense of the word, those appeal court imposed members would have resigned honorably because they didn't win the election. Let us be just. We are proud of our dear governor. His performance for now is beyond comprehension. He should keep the flag flying. Comrade Longard says, the number one primary duty of any responsible government is the protection of life and property of citizens, which we are lucky to have a governor with the heart of God and the interests of the people. We celebrate the people's governor, His Excellency Barrister Caleb Mutfwang. He's done well, and he is restoring the peace of Plateau State. Our prayers are with him. Peter Dauda says, the APC lawmakers should please let us enjoy the relative peace we are enjoying on the plateau. That's my take, you have said. Aminu Shoaibu says, I'm calling on PDP supporters to remain in peace and respect the laws and accept the judgment of the court. It's G-Man says, the governor and the speaker are trying to play a game that will cause chaos in the state. The governor and the speaker should better obey court order. Let the 16 members with certificate of return be sworn in for the peace of this state. Cyprian Mafia says, whatsoever it will take to stabilize the peace on the plateau, please go ahead and do it. Peter Dauda says, I think Ponsak and Gilbert are really trying. See how some callers will be saying anything that comes out of their mouth. Some of us cannot take it honestly. David Mark Sambu says, the 16 APC lawmakers are desperate to be sworn in because of the ulterior motive they have against the present administration of Barrister Caleb. We, the Plateau people, don't know them. They colluded with the cash and carry judges in the appeal court to rob Plateau people of their hard-earned mandate. It's a very good thing that the police has taken over the House of Assembly complex. Godwin Sule says, as for me, let them wait for the courts to decide election. No be fight, and is not by force to be the members of the House of the State Assembly. APC members should wait and nothing more. We know that people did not vote for them. Structure did not matter for these people. I didn't get that last line, sorry. Wabnen Goma Jr. says, you see some APC members and their leaders are desperate to be in power. If not, why are they trying to force themselves? Okay, you meant to say into power. Left to them. All right, thank you. Nanpe Dakop says, it's quite unfortunate that legislative activities is of its shell on the plateau. 24 state constituencies on the plateau needed proper and active representation. Let the court order be observed so as to legally swear in the 16 members that the appeal court passed its verdict for. And Isaac Joshua Darling says, as a reasonable government, the Plateau State government should not allow miscreants get into the hallowed chamber, because both the appeal court house members and their sponsors would cause commotion and distract the administration of our dearly beloved executive governor and his deputy. The truth is, the house can't be locked forever or for 8 years. I suggest every sitting be monitored by trusted security agents in government-approved locations. All right, let's see if we can take some on Twitter. That's on X. Engineer Agomo Jr. says, so far, I'm enjoying what's happening in Plateau State. Kudos to Mutfwang. Please, someone help me with the details of what happened concerning the House of Assembly in my DM or here. I'm listening from Lagos. All right, thank you. Izank Asi says, I'm urging Plateau people to stay calm and maintain peace with one another, and APC members should stop the drama. This is not 2021. How can you rule people that did not vote you into office, you can't reap what you did not sow. Bold at Mr. Bold 247 says, it seems like the Plateau State House of Assembly issue has become quite political even after the elections. In my view, playing to the gallery by the former governor during funeral service has triggered the near invasion of the chamber. And Dave Dan says, those who don't wish Plateau State well will be disappointed. And this is from CFC Praise. If you want to live long, avoid politics. And finally, Nos Nyango Gong John says, what's going on is seriously uncalled for. Yes, the APC members were in the people's choice, but a competent court of jurisdiction has made a declaration and we must all abide by it. Democracy is about laws. We can't keep on running a state without a substantial House of Assembly.
Well done, Gilbert. Let's take...
Yes.
My
solemn advice.
Yeah.
Let the APC people allow democracy to breathe. Or let's say, let them... What is the slogan? Let them allow democracy to breathe.
Yeah.
Let them allow democracy to take its own course.
Yeah.
Somebody said rightly, he said, if they believed in the courts and they are celebrating the outcome of the courts, is it now that they don't no longer believed or have confidence in the same courts? All the courts are of competent jurisdiction. Where your rights stop, somebody's own began, you know, or begin. So if you have the judgment and somebody has a right to go to court to seek, you know, to seek for redress somewhere, and then a judgment is given in that person's favor, you cannot be that selfish to seek to override the entitlements of that other person. So let them follow the law. Let them go and vacate the injunctions that have restrained the speaker from swearing them in. That is all. Once it is done, there is no any other issue. But if it is not done, the Labour Party people also have their rights to contest in the elections. They felt that their own logo was omitted. And if their logo was omitted and they could not participate or they could not get the commensurate outcome of their own electoral expectations, then definitely something is wrong. The courts have listened to them and have also given them judgment. So it's judgment plus judgment. We keep going. The courts are the final arbiter. So let us see what the courts will do.
All right. Well, more phone calls. Hello. Good evening. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
Tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
This is the voice of Plateau State, emanating from Anguarukuba, the great country of Solomon.
Thank you for calling. We're listening to you, sir.
For that, I will by commenting the girl who was my representative in the National Assembly, Honorable Timothy Golu. Well, Honorable, when you were our representative, there was peace in the constituency. And I believe, thank God, because the sitting governor, a bridge builder, have brought you still in the cabinet. God bless you, and I believe you are going to display your talent there. Well, this APC members who are trying to force themselves on Plateau people, as far as I'm concerned, we don't know them. They were not voted by Plateau people. We didn't vote them. Why are they forcing themselves on us? Because that is why the youth of Plateau are trying to resist their attitude. Now, they are trying to force themselves on Plateau people. Let me tell you, Ponsak, Plateau has suffered setback on the issue of insecurity on the Plateau. If these people were coming to serve Plateau people, with the challenges that Plateau people are passing through from days ago, we've not heard anything from them. So I'm calling on Plateau youth to rise up, stand and defend. The mandate we have today is the right mandate. Whether they like it or not, MPS will go down with 8,000 assembly members, as far as I'm concerned. We don't know them. They were not voted. But as a kind of manager, the executive governor of Plateau State, people's governor, who has a passion for his people, I am telling you this, he's the only person we know. He's on top of his feet to serve, and he has given his back, the dividends of democracy, to his people who voted him. We have a working governor. That's the truth of it. We have a governor who works for his people. He respects the electorate and he's giving back the dividends of democracy to his people. What do we want again? We don't want them. Let us get back. We don't know them. We don't want them. We are going to finish the 4 years with 8 out of assembly members. Anybody who
Thank you.
Caused confusion for us on the plan to back, we are not going to pull our arms. They should stay back. They should go and meet Justice Monica. Illegally, who declared them as illegitimate. We don't have
Thank you,
that.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you very much. I said that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, this is the much comment we're going to take. Dr. Golu, please go ahead and give your concluding remarks. You heard from what that last caller, you know, emphatically
yes,
said.
Yes, you can see it. It's so unfortunate that, you know, the judiciary has created, you know, instead of resolving an issue within the polity. You can see it. The politics is about the people. The law is about the people. So whatever is the decision, because it is an arm of government, we have three of them, the legislature, the executive, and then the judiciary. These arms of government are the critical institutions that control society. So if any one of them misbehave, or if any one of them does what is outside its own boundaries, it is bound to be chaos. There is bound to be chaos. All these things are a reflections of what is expected, you know, from any arm of government. If it is the legislature that makes wrong laws, you know how it will impact negatively in the society. If it is the executive that enforces wrong, you know, policies, you will know that it will go a long way to create chaos, crisis in the society. If it is the judiciary that does same, definitely there will be crisis. This time around, the whole thing is centered around the judiciary.
Thank you.
Okay, yes. Yeah. So please.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Timothy Golo. I'm sorry I didn't use the word honorable, because for me, doctor inspires me, you know, to reach the peak of my career as well. So thank you, Dr. Timothy Golo,
thank
for coming.
Thank you so much. I'm grateful.
Special advisor on strategic communications to Governor Caleb Mutfwang. Gilbert, your final word.
The special advisor to the president, again, on strategic communication,
yeah,
has been neither here nor there in terms of some of his submissions. He has goofed. Bayo Onanuga have said that here severally. He came out to say that the UAE has lifted its ban on visa. You know, Nigerians, the same individual came out to say nothing of such happened. This is just after the president returned from. I mean, so the coordination
we'll see.
Is something that needs
we'll see.
A lot more thinking and rejigging, I think.
Yeah. Stay tuned to the news top of the hour, 6 o'clock. My name is Ponsak Fanab. Have a good evening. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.